Well, hello, lovely humans, and welcome to Engage, a wedding planning podcast for the modern day couple. I'm your host, Jamie Wolfer, and I truly believe that wedding planning does not need to be complicated or time consuming. I kind of picture these episodes like jumping on a quick phone call with your wedding planner. You get your answers and you go on your merry way, because sometimes not all of us have an hour to dedicate to listening to super long podcasts or super long intros. So without further ado, let's just jump right on into it.
Official, it's happening. Well, thank you for rejoining us, me, on the podcast. This is super exciting. For the audience has no clue who you are, let's explain some of the depth behind some of the snarkiness that may come out in the next 15 minutes or so. Who are you? What do you do?
Just some guy picked up off the street. My name is Dave. I own Amari Productions. We do photo and video based in California, but you know, all over. I mean, yeah, how long of a backstory do you want? Jamie and I have known each other for an amount of time that she would get mad at me if I told you, because that it might imply how old we are. So
can we say 20 years now? Are we at that point?
Oh, no, Jamie. Oh. Gosh, you're right. It is 20 years. Holy cannoli.
Oh, woof. So, needless
hard,
to say.
Hard woof.
Hard woof. Dave and I go really, really far back to the... So, yeah, high school days of like little Dave, little Jamie.
No, we don't need to mention anything from high school days. Let's just leave it at that.
Let's just stop that train before it leaves the station.
For both of our sakes.
But I think with one thing that's been super cool, and I genuinely do not think I'd be where I'm at in the wedding industry if I didn't have you to call, because you have consistently been a business ear that I can turn to, and you have completely opened my eyes to certain subsets of like information that I had no clue. Like even as we were preparing for this interview and we're talking about like, how can we help couples? What information can we give them? You're bringing up stuff that I'm like, oh, oops, I haven't thought of that. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I think it's really cool to basically use you for this platform, because I think I have just benefited so much from your wisdom over the last portion of time, the unnamed portion of time. And I'd like to manipulate that for my audience.
Yeah. And you did hit every checkpoint that I required. I will pay you the $100 that I promised if you would talk me up. So thank you for completing that. And I will Venmo you. No, I think this is your podcast, but I'm still going to talk you up, because likewise, I remember fielding some of those calls, you know, 7, 8, however many years ago it was, as you were getting in the industry. And then fast forward, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, and the turntables had turned, and all of your experience and expertise and knowledge in the education and social media game just blows me away. And I love every time we get to chat, and I love getting to use you right back. So,
hey. It's a symbiotic relationship.
As good friends do, use each other for our talents.
AKA for content. It's fine. My friends over at Honey Fund are literally on a mission to make all couples' honeymoon dreams come true, regardless of their budget. Why? Because couples who take a honeymoon and travel together regularly are happier in their marriages. According to a 2022 independent study of married American couples, couples who took a honeymoon were more likely to be happily married 11 plus years later. What? If you're worried that you don't have the budget for a honeymoon, Honey Fund has your back. They make it so unbelievably easy to register for your honeymoon, and your guests will absolutely love it. Make your honeymoon happen with Honey Fund, the most trusted honeymoon and cash registry. Sign up for your honeymoon registry today at honeyfund.com. Now, there was a couple things that you had, because I had a general idea of what I want to talk about coming into this meeting, but basically you do an excellent job of really breaking down analytically some certain touch points that like couples aren't thinking of, and they're not supposed to. They've never done this before. But there were 5 really core things that couples kind of look over on their wedding day.
From
a photographer and videographer perspective are very important and super impactful. Mm-hmm. What's one of them?
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about this, you know, before we started recording. We could do, you know, an entire like 3-day intensive on this. So we decided to whittle it down to 5 things. Keep this short and sweet, but hopefully give you guys some you know, something tangible, something new that you haven't heard. So I'll start it off. We'll go in the order of your day. So starting it off in the morning and you're getting ready. I can't like stress enough the value of wherever you're getting ready, whether that's at like your house, at a hotel, at an Airbnb, whatever it is, being set up in a space that has a lot of natural light and being near that natural light. So if you are in a hotel, try to, you know, swing for a corner room, or at least a bigger room with some more windows. If you're at a house, try to be in a part of the house where the test is, can you turn all the lights off? Can you turn all the internal lights off and still be able to get ready? Huh. If yes, that is where we want to be taking your photos and filming your video. If we have to have the internal lights on, that's where, you know, that's just the quality of the first set of photos you see, you know, in your gallery or the opening chunk of your story. Like the quality is not going to be as high. To the point where, like, you know, a lot of us in the industry will, for like the guys, like, we'll move you. Like, if you're not in that area, like, we'll move you to that area before we start taking photos or video. Or for the girls, and this is why it's especially important for the girls. When we get there, you're already in the makeup chair, or you know, somebody's in the makeup chair. Everything's set up. So for the girls, especially, it's really hard to be like, oh, you are all the way back by the bathroom in the hallway. Can we have you come out to the living room, or can we have you come out to the main room? So yeah, getting that natural light and being set up in that natural light. You'll also appreciate it later. It blows my mind sometimes how makeup artists are doing makeup under like a yellow can light. And I'm like, I haven't worn a lot of makeup in my life.
This feels like a no.
But I do think that the sunlight outside is not going to be quite the same color as this like yellow can light. So when you're like blending and picking your shades, okay, not my job.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my first one. That's my first one. Probably not something you've, I should say that. That feels kind of smug. Potentially not something you've considered.
And I do feel like if your makeup artist is also not thinking through this, that feels a little red flaggy to me.
At that point, it's too late, right?
at that point, you just want to make sure they pick the right shades. No, but it's just one of those things where you just kind of don't think about turning off all the internal lights and still being able to see. This is something that you should hear in conversation with your makeup artist, for sure. This is something that you may not hear in conversation with your photographer or with your videographer, because listen, they will take you and move you wherever. But if you want to make your morning more convenient, if you want to make it more streamlined for all of the professionals that you're working with and for yourself, and not be dragged around from place to place, try to find a spot with convenient lighting for everybody involved. It just sounds like it just takes the guesswork out of it. If it's got a good window, everybody's happier. Now this
window,
just like press your face up against the glass. Now this brings into mind the idea of like how much time people are dedicating towards photo and video. And I know that a lot of times people are like, oh, I've dedicated plenty of time. Like it's totally fine. But do they? Is there enough time to capture all the things that you need to capture? What does that look like?
Yeah, and that's kind of my second one is the...
Yeah, that's why I conveniently segued into it for you.
Well, okay, calm down. I didn't know if you were talking about getting ready or portraits, because, you know, earlier, this could apply to your getting ready, it could apply to the whole day. The time frame I had kind of been thinking of specifically, the one that I feel like we get pinched the most often, would be your photos, your couples portraits, your bridal party portraits, and your family photos. The next point is going to relate to this. So yeah, giving me crap for your segue, you segued to the wrong point. So that's why I was a little confused.
I wrote them down in order of when they came out. If you're watching the video version of this, they're in order. Okay. So let's go. Point number two is probably actually first look, because that's the next part of your day.
That's what I wanted. There we go. See, if you had a segue there, I'd have been like, nice segue, Jamie. Let's move on. Like Jamie said, we give each other a lot of flack. Yeah. So first look, the value of a first look. I think that is often overlooked. It's getting increasingly common at weddings over the last 10 years. Not even recently. But you may not be aware of it, because even if you're a guest at a wedding in the last 10 years, the whole point of the first look is for you not to be there when it's happening. So you would know it happened as a guest.
Ideally.
So unless you're like in the bridal party, you might not even know how often that's actually happening. And so I think the value can be overlooked. There definitely can be weddings where, as we're going through the planning and we bring it up, they're like, oh yeah, we heard of that. We just didn't think we needed it. It's like, let's talk a little bit about that. Here is like the core value of a first look. Once your ceremony starts, from that point on to the rest of the day, all your guests are there, all your family, all your friends. Mm-hmm. I still remember that very moment from my own wedding, mm-hmm. of walking around the corner with the marriage license to go find the pastor to hand it to him. And just that moment hitting me of like, holy crap, this is my family from this part of the country, from that part of the country, my friends from high school, my friends from college, my friends from post-college, like everybody I know in one place. Like that is so unbelievable and will never happen again. And I cannot wait to milk every second of the next like 6 hours, because mm-hmm. this truly is a once in a lifetime experience. If you do not do a first look, guess what you're going to be doing for two of those 6 hours, you know, an hour and a half of those 6 hours, mm-hmm. off taking your photos. If you do a first look, you can get the majority of your family photos, if not all of your family photos, done before the ceremony. Now all of your family gets to go enjoy cocktail hour, mm-hmm. and doesn't have to get her, wrangled up. And all of your bridal party photos, you can get all those done. So that after the ceremony, the only photos you really have left are couples portraits, because, you know, you want to get those in that good golden hour light. But even mm-hmm. couples portraits, a good photographer, videographer combo is still going to get 15, 20 minutes of those after your first look, just to make sure they've, you know, got them in the bank in case stuff runs late. That's the other thing that's the other risk without a first look is if stuff runs late, you may literally run out of time. Like it just might be dark and you know, by the time you get families done and bridal parties done, you get to the most important photos, your couple's portraits, and the sun is long gone. So having a first look, getting that stuff done before the wedding, lets you be present, like literally and metaphorically, with your family and friends throughout the afternoon, throughout the evening. So while you may have not heard of it or know a lot about it, or you may think like it's too untraditional, think about it.
It's a different scenario if you two are going off on a walk than if you are on a train with 150 other people. We can't stop that train. Everyone's been invited on, everyone is boarded. We also cannot control when the sun goes down. So if people are feeling anxious about getting to the next activity, or, you know, we're really at a choke point in the schedule of the timeline of what that looks like, and you haven't gotten those photos done, then we're pushing dinner start time. This is affecting everybody on the train. That's mm-hmm. kind of a really good word picture, I think, before everything starts, before everyone's boarded on the train. If we could just capture your attention for a little bit and take you off to go do this, then everything just can potentially run a lot more smoothly, or it opens up the opportunity for things to run more smoothly moving forward.
Yeah. Also too, because when you do family photos after the ceremony, like guess how often like 2% of the extended family does not follow instructions and somebody has to go hunt them down at the bar. It's 100% of the time.
100% of the time. Okay. Quick caveat to that. How do you get all of the, because to me, I cannot stand trying to get family photos, especially, who am I? My 5-year-old, especially before the ceremony starts, there's no chance that you'll get everyone there on time for early photos.
Yeah. So what often ends up happening is it's the hierarchy of who's responsible, right? So like your parents.
Yeah.
Generally, like your parents, your bridal party, like your immediate siblings, like if you tell them to be there 30 minutes, you know, before they're supposed to, like if their call time is a certain time, like they're going to be there. To try to get all your aunts and uncles and cousins and stuff, then yeah, they're going to fail. So you'll usually get some of the family photos done beforehand, and then the big group photo of each side of the family, and you know, whoever's left, whoever didn't show up early. You'll knock those out. The family photos you can knock out, and the bridal party photos that really does save a lot of time.
Yeah.
Speaking of time, you can't knock them all out. Speaking of time, that brings me to my third point, Jamie, which was just a great planned segue. Yeah. Time in general. It's funny that the one time of day that we get the most pinched the most often in the timeline is the photos. And again, kind of like the first look, I feel like some of that comes from, even no matter how many weddings you've been a guest at and stuff, that stuff's happening off to the side. So you don't realize how much time that's going to take, and how valuable that time is after your wedding day. You know, I think a lot of couples, especially a lot of our grooms, when we get to the wedding day, they're like, can we just be done with photos? Like, I want to go see everybody. And absolutely, if that's what you want, yes. But if you want that family heirloom, if you want those photos for the wall, for the album, for your parents, if you want that video with those moments, those raw human moments between you two, we need to set aside that time. And so if we have a first look, usually that's not an issue because we'll have a first look. We'll have anywhere from like 30, maybe like on average, like an hour, hour and a half, sometimes even 2 hours. And then we'll have a little bit of time during cocktail hour when the sun is like perfect in the sky. Usually that's not an issue. Where it can really pinch though is if we either don't have a first look and we're having trying to do like a traditional 1 hour cocktail hour, or we have a first look, but it's scheduled to be about 30 minutes before the ceremony. 30 minutes for the ceremony, we need to be getting set up for the ceremony. Not the photo side as much. Photo's a little bit easier, but the video side certainly, because we need to get audio set up, tripods. There's more going on the video side.
And from a planner perspective, I don't want the photographer shooting you 30 minutes before your ceremony starts. Yeah. That feels like way too big of a risk for me specifically. Yep. I'm like, no. Because occasionally we'll get those artsy photographers that are like, I need time to do my art. And I'm like, great. But the train's moving. There's 150 people on it. You can't just stop it because you have art to do. So that for me, like even from a photography perspective, as a planner, I'm like, hard pass, no dice. No, you cannot take them away 20 minutes before the ceremony starts.
Yep. So this is small, but it makes a huge difference. I know in the traditional wedding schedule, if the ceremony's 5 to 5:30, cocktail hour is like 5:30 to 6:30, doors open at 6:30, grand entrance at 6:45. So you got like basically an hour for cocktail hour with like a little bit of extra time for people to find their seats for grand entrance. Mm-hmm. Turn that hour into 90 minutes. Like in the grand scheme of your day, that is not a big difference to your guests. They're not going to notice. They're getting hors d'oeuvres, they're getting drinks, they're getting to catch up with people from work, from school, family, whatever. Let them mingle for 90 minutes instead of 60. It will make all the difference in the world to your photo and video, and will most likely mean, even if you didn't have a first look, will most likely mean you'll actually get to go into your cocktail hour for a little bit and mingle, which is huge. We didn't talk about this in our 5 points, and we're going to make this too long if I do this too often, but that is huge for you guys, because cocktail hour and open dancing are basically, I guess dinner, are like the only times that you actually aren't in some event needing to be paying attention yourselves. Like you got, like I was saying, you got all these people one time in your life and you want to see them. Cocktail hour, dinner, but hey, please eat. You're not going to want to, but do it. And then open dancing, which at that point you should be dancing. You should be partying, enjoying, you know, joining the dance floor. So being able to get into cocktail hour, connect with grandma and aunts and uncles that you're not going to see on the dance floor later is key. So 90 minutes of cocktail hour instead of 60 minutes is a game changer.
It's a game changer for everyone involved. It's like, it puts breathing room on everything. And I think the big concern is, what if my guest gets antsy? Listen, if your DJ is on point, the playlist is fine, the bar hasn't closed, you haven't ran out of food, if you take care of people's basic needs, if it's not blazing hot outside, if there's enough water, basic needs are met, they will be perfectly content. You don't need to overly massage the situation. We don't need lawn games. We don't need board games. Just let them exist with mellow background music and food and drink, and they will be fine.
Well, and let's talk about, you said it adds breathing room. It adds padding. A flip side is, would you rather them have extra time at cocktail hour, or would you rather have them extra time sitting at their table because the chicken's not ready to plate or whatever, or the buffet's not ready to serve yet? That happens all of the time. Dinner, the caterers run late all of the time. It happens. And so, if you have that padding built into the cocktail hour, then that just gives you that extra flexibility instead of guests sitting at their tables waiting for dinner to be ready or whatever.
Okay, so we have a slight problem because point number 4 actually brings us a little bit earlier than cocktail hour. So your whole methodology of like following the day timeline.
I'm glad you found one to get me back on. I was worried that I was going to end I was going to end so far in the lead that like your audience was going to turn on me and be like, wow, he really raked her over the coals. So I'm glad you found one to get me back on.
I did.
So back to even Stevens.
It's
what did I mess up? What's the next one?
Be efficient.
Oh, damn it. I really did jump ahead.
You really did. Now, however, I don't think it has to be in chronological order for people to absorb the information.
Chronological.
I do really think that there is so much power to booking a professional, and I had no clue how, and this is one of those like eye-opening moments I had like right before we started recording. I could probably conceptualize what that would look like, right? Of how this could affect photography or videography, but talk through how a non-professional efficient affects you and what you guys do.
I mean, it's terrifying. It's like the first, oh, my like brother's doing it. You're like, okay, like the range of variables just went from this to this.
Yes.
Of like what this next hour is going to look like. and I'll just give you, I know we're like blasting past the normal time. So I'll just give you two like real examples that I am remembering. One happens all of the time. They get so nervous in tunnel vision that they forget to tell guests to sit down. Oh, and oh boy, is that awkward, because everybody's like, do we keep standing? Do we keep sitting? Nobody wants to be the first one to sit.
No.
But then people eventually realize like, no, we definitely should be sitting. So then some rows sit down, some rows stay up. Guess who's the last one to sit down? The front rows, because they like the people
they
in the back
see
that
visual
people
cues.
Sat down.
Right.
So then you're like, your parents are randomly standing and everyone else has sat down. And then like me as the video guy there, I eventually like will tap people on the shoulders and be like, you guys can sit down. Like it's, example number two. And then obviously that's going to, you know, it's awkward. People are not paying attention to what's going on because they're trying to figure out the like social dynamics, what people are doing. And then it's going to show up in your photo video that you've got like some people up, some people down.
And then it impedes your shot.
Yeah. Oh, and it impedes the shot. Yes. Yes. And then the second one kind of related to that is like, they don't have that, you know, because they don't have that professional experience. Little things like the example we just gave, or like standing in a really weird spot or really weird position. Like I had one where there was this really, it was a really high-end wedding. They had this beautiful like platform thing, podium, like podium type thing.
Sure.
And he put his notes down on it and it was a little bit low for him. Oh, the mic was also a little bit low for him. And instead of just loosening the mic and raising it up, he just hunched over and like read into the mic like this the entire ceremony. And it was like it was like one of these for the people watching the video. It was like Hunchback of Notre Dame style.
Notre Dame.
It was a brother. It just looked uncomfortable. Uncomfortable. And he's in every shot because he's right up there with the two of them. So if you're going to have, I think there can be something special to having somebody special to you do it. Just make sure, I would recommend somebody that is like comfortable with like public speaking, has that kind of presence. They're not going to get super nervous, get tunnel vision, and then kind of lose some of their just like basic visual cues around them.
The hunching, the eyeballs being glued to the paper, the speaking really quickly. People can't understand them. Not moving when you kiss. There's so many nuances to this really specifically.
Forgetting to give the mic to the bride and groom for their vows. Yes. Like, we're going to mic you up, so we shouldn't need it. But then, you know, your guests won't hear it. And we are recording that source, so we lose that source. Like, all those little things.
Now, this is a wonderful plug for Mark Allen Grollo from Unboring Wedding Efficient. He has a whole course on, like, how to, if you're going to have somebody do this, please have them go take this course.
Have them go see
what Mark does, because he's a professional efficient, trains other efficients and trains people who don't know what they're doing. All of these key little minutiae of like, no, you need to move. No, you need to do this. Are you feeling lost or overwhelmed with wedding planning? Why does this also sound like an infomercial? Take a deep breath. You are in the right place. I've put together this amazing, if I do say so myself, wedding planning checklist that tells you all the things that you need to be doing and when you need to be doing them. A step-by-step path just for you. You can grab your step-by-step wedding planning checklist now at weddingchecklist.co. That's weddingchecklist.co. So as far as, and not to mention, gosh, how fast they talk, or I can say with full assurity, I know it's going to be a very quick ceremony. I have video proof of me just being like, yeah, this is going to be real fast. And then 2.5 minutes later, you're done.
And I think that's, That is a great point too, because we'll go to Mike, the officiant, before the ceremony. And one of our little hacks is during that time, we'll say, hey, can you just give me like a quick rundown of events, so I just kind of know where to be when, you know, I'm looking for like one of the vows going to be, are you going to ever walk away from the altar for like a stand ceremony or foot washing or performance? And when is the kiss going to be, so that I'm not in the wrong spot at the wrong time?
Right.
And when I have somebody that's like, oh, it's going to be like 5 minutes, they're going to walk down, I'm going to say like, I've got this like one paragraph I'm going to speak to, they're going to do their vows, the rings, and we're going to be done. Oh, my anxiety level goes through the roof. Like, it's so hard to get that content. Whereas a professional officiant, like, I totally get it. It's a non-religious ceremony for you guys, so you don't have to do, you know, all of the things. But a professional officiant is still going to help you build a ceremony. It's going to be 20 minutes. It's not an hour and a half mass by any means. Right. It'll be 20 minutes. It'll still go very quick, but they'll help you provide the structure and the pieces to make that ceremony feel worthwhile for you, for your family and friends, and really make sure that it does tell that story of the two of you and play into that larger story of the day.
And even if you're like, I don't care about the story, I just want to get to the party, that's great. That's fine.
Yes.
Please consider the artists and other professionals that you have hired that are now having to stumble around this person who is the bookend to kick off the train starting, right? Like, just like, yes, but let's add a little bit more structure into this, so your photographer doesn't miss your first kiss as a married couple. That simple nuance, or, you know, if they're booking it to get to the right spot mid-kiss, well, first of all, that's that may just be them. They may not have picked up on the cues, but like, set everyone up for success in this. So if that means that this one particular DIY portion, you structure it just an iota better than you had initially thought, will help everybody, because you're paying a lot of money for photo. You're paying a lot of money for video. Let's not jeopardize it over your uncle who's never spoken in public before. Now, the last factor was one that I was like, oh, I've thought about this, but not in this capacity. It's lighting for reception.
Yeah.
Because like, I've definitely been in places before. Oh gosh, there was this one venue that I worked at and he had like concert lighting and he'd change the colors based on the couple's preference, so it would be like the whole inside of the venue would be pink or like lilac, and you're like, I hate everything about this. Every single photo this couple's going to receive is going to be black and white because it looks awful. So I've considered lighting in this capacity, but like, not how much really it affects you. It affects you a lot, more than just black and white.
Yeah. And I think the guest experience as well. You know, for photo, obviously we're going to have flash. Although there are definitely situations on photo where we'll use like an off-camera video light that actually can help photo. But on the video side, we will bring, you know, our own lighting for, you know, the first dance, all the reception events, toast, bouquet garter, or whatever. And the goal with those lights is to, the type of light is I'm trying to not get into nerdy terms. I can change the color of the white. God, tunable. It's what I call it. It's a tunable white. So I can make it blue, or I can make it orange, or, you know, I can make it match. If it's like a candlelit vibe, I can make it feel candlelit. If it's a really like cool, like industrial vibe, I can make it match that. But those lights are there to supplement, and the whole point of our style, of our entire style, is to be unobtrusive, not distract your guests, not draw attention. And so if the lighting at your reception is really dark, if there's not some type of lighting around the sweetheart table, around the where you're gonna have the toasts, around the dance floor, when we turn our lights on, it's gonna be a lot. Like, it's just going to be a lot more noticeable. So if you're doing like a backyard wedding and you're hanging popcorn lights, for example, across the trees, awesome. That's going to be a great vibe, but try to figure out some solution to get more lighting to where you guys are sitting, to get more lighting to the dance floor. I know it's a small percentage maybe of couples that actually get a lighting vendor. But if you're getting married at a really dark space, that might not be a bad idea to look into that to help. I definitely think that fits under this category of just things that you wouldn't think about. You're just like, oh, I just want to party. But it really will make a difference to the aesthetic of your night, your guest ability to see you guys up at the sweetheart table, and see you on the dance floor. And in terms of that longevity of the memories, of the keepsakes, of the heirlooms of that night being your photo and your video, it'll make a huge difference.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's kind of this idea of once you've reached that point of the reception of like, let go and let God, you know, like whatever we get out of this, we get out of this. But if you are looking through these galleries and you see these sweet photos or you see these sweet video moments and you're like, I want that, that doesn't just happen. And I think a lot of times building that awareness is really important because I saw it as, hey, videographers just travel with their own lights. It is what it is. Photographers travel with a flash, you know? And I hadn't thought to really prep the space in a better way to pull that off. So in an ideal situation, what would that look like that you could speak to? Like, does that mean more uplighting near their table? Does that mean bigger bulbs? Like literally, great if question. They wanted to implement this, what would that look like?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So uplighting is purely decorative. From a photo video perspective, not a big fan of uplighting, to be honest. So don't pull any more in than you need to. but setting up some spotlights, and when I say spotlights, I don't mean like what you like Looney Tunes cartoons. Oh man, Looney Tunes is really old now, huh? Did I just age us again? I don't think. I don't know.
Us? Don't take me down with you on that one. You dated yourself on that one, but yes, Looney Tunes might be old.
You are exactly 1 year younger than me, so zip it. But like a fill light, so you know, getting something up on a stand that's actually pointing, you know, or hanging from a tree, whatever, but getting something that's actually pointing to the sweetheart table, getting like 2 or 3 or even 4 point lighting around the dance floor. Mm. That's just adding more illumination to the dance floor. Or if it is popcorn lights or something like strung like that, maybe you're hanging a few extra, you know, a few extra strands or taking a strand and kind of going back and forth. Like maybe you bring your arch over from the ceremony and you put it over your sweetheart table and you string the lights back and forth. Something, you know, something where you're just getting extra lighting on you guys from the sweetheart table onto the dance floor.
Yeah. Okay. So can they do that wrong? Like, is there a way that like, so here's what I heard, another venue that I worked at, they had LED string lights outside. And it caused the lines in the photos, right?
That's a good way of describing it.
The LED is flashing. It's not a constant light source. It pulses.
Yep. So we call it strobing. Pulsing. Yeah, there you go. That's great too.
Hey.
yeah, it's a strobing effect is what we would call it. And it sucks. It sucks. If you're watching this and you are listening to this and you do video or photo, the answer is open up your shutter. So we can mostly get around it by opening up our shutter. But then that, you know, on the photo side, that introduces a whole nother set of issues. And on the video side, there's only so much we can open up the shutter. So you may still see it. So yeah, LEDs, I still don't quite understand what the difference is. I've been told by lighting people that it's the quality of the LEDs. It could be that, but that also sounds like an easy cop-out answer of like, well, get more expensive stuff.
If you spend more money, then maybe they'll be fine.
I mean, the scientific thing is, yeah, it's the wavelength. It's the wavelength of the light versus the time that the shutter's open and creating a strobing effect. So yeah, not a fan of cheap LEDs, I guess is how I would describe it from somebody from a lighting place. But yeah, if you can get some kind of spot, some kind of, you know, splash or fill light up on a stand, you know, even if you rent it, gosh, if you were DIYing it, going to a AV rentals. So like we're like a production company, a marketing, an ad agency or like a marketing agency. I mean, I've been in the smallest towns for weddings and needed to like get a piece of equipment last minute, and you'll be surprised at how every town has somebody that like rents AV equipment. So you could go rent some lights on stands and run power to them. Oh, the other thing I would say that you could go wrong is two-toning your light. So you've got, you know, all these popcorn lights. It's a very warm orangish white. And then you go pick up some spots and the spotlights are like hospital fluorescent blue.
Yes.
That is going to be rough. on your photo and video.
Yeah, and your facial features. Let us just be clear. Now, don't be overwhelmed by all of this information. Like if you, especially with, cause with the lighting, we got into real specifics on that one. This is a conversation that you should absolutely be having with photo and video. Hey, is this a concern of yours? Hey, how can we support you in this? What can we do to make this your best craft? Now, it's not your job as a couple, as a client, to make everything easier for them. But if it just so happens that you're already hiring somebody for lighting, if it just so happens that you're already string lights, can we be strategic about this? Don't overown it. You don't have to do their job for them. So we just spun a ton of information your direction, like a little mini tornado or like a spinning top, and then released it. Trust these professionals that you're hiring. If they have needs, open yourself to be able to hear them, have these conversations with them. Now you're aware, you can ask these questions, but please don't feel like you have to own every step of this process on behalf of these vendors, right? Like at a certain point, a videographer is going to save their own hiney. A photographer is going to figure it
100%.
out. 100%. If you want to make this an easier process for all involved, an awareness of these five topics is huge. It's just going to change the demographic of like how the day, demographic's not the right word, but it's fine. Let's forge ahead of how the day goes for both yourself and for your photo, video, and team. It's just going to get you the best results. It's fine. You don't have to add anything after that. That felt like a really wrap up. Anyways, you're just like,
I wanted to see how long I could leave you hanging there.
Done. Okay.
No, do not cut that audio out. I wanted to see how long I could leave you hanging. That was fun. I was going to say, and then I just shook my head and then you shook your head. And then I was like, oh, we're both going to do this. Let's see how long we can hold this for.
Not long. Not long.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great, like, I don't know, like reflective pullback moment of clarity. Ultimately, it's your job. If you are really DIYing the day, then I want you to have all this information.
Yep.
If you are hiring a planner, if you are hiring a solid photographer, videographer, if you are hiring a lighting vendor, all of this stuff will be accounted for. If you're hiring a high quality makeup artist, like they're going to put you in front of the window. They're not going to put you in the hallway. But if you're DIYing or you're balling on a budget, as Jamie likes to say, and you do hire, less experienced, up and coming diamond in the rough makeup artist that you're really excited about, and she puts you in the hallway, you can be like, oh, hey, actually, would it be all right if we sat over by that window?
A photographer, videographer person I listened to on a podcast once suggested I'd be near a window. So just as you did that with my photographer at my wedding.
I did.
Remember that? Yes, because she wanted to do the first look in a place that was not great. And you're just like move it over here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. She wanted to wasn't it like a splotchy, something like splotchy light. She's like, I really like the background. So I was like, the background doesn't matter if they're in like direct splotchy light. Like let's flip them around and get them backlit so that they're in soft even light. Yeah. Anyways, that's a whole nother podcast.
That's another podcast. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Dave. This has been enlightening and frightening, I'm sure, for some. No, but really, like, y'all, we would rather you be over-equipped with information and be able to have these conversations in an educated manner instead of feeling like you're just caught in these situations where you're not satisfied with the results afterwards. So thank you for letting us pick at your brain. Thank you for sharing this in a really easy to digest manner. And if you didn't scare too many people, maybe we'll have you back again. It seems like it's about once every other year that we're doing this. So 2024, we could do this again.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I do remember doing this pacing my room in the middle of COVID. So must have been 2 years ago.
Must have been 2 years ago. No, but thanks again for your time. If people want to check out where you're at, where can they find you?
They can find us on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Amari Productions, on all of those. If you want more information on like this kind of educational material, I think on our YouTube, one of the like channels is specifically educational content, but where the best place to go would probably be our FAQ page on our website. So you can go to mariaproductions.com/facts. And that will, they're all YouTube videos, but it's popped out in question and answers.
Mm-hmm. Wait, now I want to do that with my FAQ page. Great. Thank you for leaving me with ideas.
Go get lost in some videos. And thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure as always.
All right, guys, we'll catch you in the next one. If you are struggling with wedding planning and you have questions and you just need someone to listen and to chat with, come join us in the Masterplan community over at themasterplanwed.com. I would love to have you in there. Thanks so much for listening. If you haven't done so already, subscribe, jump on over to wherever you're listening to this podcast and leave a 5-star review so we can let the podcast people know that Jamie knows what she's talking about sometimes. And until next time, bye guys.